Okay, good afternoon, everyone. So in Parshas Mishpatim, the pasuk says that Avantem is Hashem Elokichem uveirach es lachmecha ve'esmeimecha v'hasiyorsi ma'achavam mikirbecha, that we are to serve Hashem, and He will make our bread and water plentiful, and He will remove any sickness from within our midst. So the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Mem Ches Amid Beis, actually tomorrow's Daf Yomi, cites a brisa that records the opinion of Rabbi Yitzchak, who derives from this very pasuk the obligation to recite a bracha rishona prior to consumption of any food, what we call a birkas hanehenin. And Rabbi Yitzchak interprets the word uveirach not as uveirach, that Hashem will bless, will make our bread plentiful, but rather as uveirach, changes the patach to a tzeire, and in so doing, it basically means a command to recite a bracha before eating bread. Uveirach es lachmecha ve'esmeimecha, meaning prior to having bread or water, make sure to make a bracha. So from this pasuk, Rabbi Yitzchak derives the chiyuv of a bracha rishona. And the truth is that even in that very braisa, we find a plethora of potential sources in that braisa and also elsewhere in the Gemara. In that braisa, in Brachos Memches Med Beis, so the following other options are recorded. Number one is a kavachomer of kishuhu saveh mevarich kishuhu ra'iv lo kol shekin. If one makes a bracha after he is satisfied, after he's already had his meal, then is it not a kol shekin? Is it not even more pressing to make a bracha when one is hungry prior to eating his food? That would be one source. Another source, Asher Nosan Lecha, is interpreted as Misha Nosan Lecha. From the time that Hashem gives us the food, make sure to make a bracha. We have to make the bracha before we eat it. And also from a pasuk in Shmuel Aleph, Yuhu Yivarich Hazevach Acharichin Yochelu Akiruim, that the food will be blessed. The bracha will be recited on the food before those gathered will consume it. So even in that very bright, so we have four potential sources for the chiyuv of birkas hanenin, of bracha rishona, making a bracha prior to eating food. Earlier in the Gemara, at the very beginning of Parakeitza Mevarchin and Daf Lamed Hey and Brachos, so the Gemara cites another brisa where Rabbi Akiva is quoted as learning as deriving a bracha rishona from the pasuk of Kodesh Hi Lulim Lashem, a pasuk with respect to the concept of Kerem Rivai. So Kodesh Hi Lulim Lashem teaches us that there need to be two hilulim, with two praises of Hashem, which refer to a bracha lefnehem ula acharehem, a bracha prior to eating food and a bracha after eating food. Bracha after eating food is birkas hamazon, bracha lefnehem is bracha rishona. So from these two gemaras, we have five potential sources, four from Torah and one from Nevi'im for a birkas hanenin. However, the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Hey, and that sugya at the beginning of Ketzad Mevarchin, eventually concludes that the obligation to recite a bracha rishona is not really from a pasuk, but rather it's rooted in a svara, and that svara is aser lo la adam sheyehne min haolam hazeh velo bracha. It's forbidden for a person to derive any benefit from this world without reciting a bracha in advance of enjoying that benefit. So that svara is assumed to be the conclusion as our basis for the chiyuv of bracha rishona. So based on all of this discussion of the source for bracha rishona, let's focus on the following questions. Number one, what exactly is going to be the significance of the source for the chiyuv of bracha rishona? Whether we see it as coming from a pasuk in Torah, or whether we see it as coming from the svara of asur lo la'adam she'anem in ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. What's the difference between the sources, and what is the impact of the sources on our understanding of that chiyuv? And number two, what is going to be our understanding of this chiyuv of birkas hanenin? What is the nature of the recitation of a bracha rishona? And number three, what are going to be the parameters of this chiyuv? Until when can it be recited? Is it recited in cases of safik? So we're going to discuss a number of parameters of the chiyuv of birkas hanenin. So let's begin with the status of the chiyuv of bracha rishona. Is this chiyuv a chiyuv d'rabbanan or a chiyuv d'oraisa? So most of the Rishonim and the Achronim assume that this is only a chiyuv midrabanan, despite the fact that there were many sources in Torah that were quoted for the chiyuv of birkas hanenin. Nonetheless, those sources are understood to be asmachta ba'alma. They're understood to be hints in the Torah towards the chiyuv of birkas hanenin. But in its conclusion, birkas hanenin is actually just a chiyuv d'rabanan. And the main source of the main evidence, the main raya for this, is the Mishnah earlier in Maseches Brachos and Daf Chaf Amid Beis, which states that according to the Chacham, Chachamim, so Takanas Ezra, which established that a Baal Keri is not allowed to recite certain brachos. So according to Takanas Ezra, a Baal Keri recites Birkas HaMazon, but does not recite a bracha Rishona. And the Gemara on Chaf Aleph, Haman Aleph, basically explains that the discrepancy between Birkas HaMazon and bracha Rishona is that Birkas HaMazon is a mitzvah de'oraisa, whereas Birkas HaNenin, prior to eating food, a bracha Rishona is implicitly only midirabanan. And since bracha Rishona is only midirabanan, so therefore Takanas Ezra established that a Baal Keri shouldn't say that bracha at all, whereas Birkas HaMazon, which is a bracha de'oraisa, a Baal Keri would have to recite. That seems pretty clear from that Gemara, that Mishnah, and that Gemara, that a bracha Rishona is only a mitzvah derabanan, and this is the opinion of the Baalei HaTosfos and the Rashba and many other Rishonim, and that's generally the way that we assume lehalacha. However, there are other opinions that actually believe that Birkas HaNe'anin, a bracha Rishona, is a chiyuv de'oraisa. The Rashba, in his commentary to Brachos Mem Ches Amid Beis, which is the Gemara with which we began, argues that the Tanaim who offer sources from Torah for a bracha Rishona, those Tanaim listed in that Braisa of Rabbi Yitzchak uveiraches lachmecha, or Asher nasan lecha, Misha nasan lecha. So those Tanoim actually believe that there is a chiyuv de oraisa to recite a bracha rishona. The Rashba says that we don't pask in that way based on the earlier evidence from the Gemara in Brachos. But according to those Tanoim, there would be a chiyuv de oraisa to recite a bracha rishona. And then there's the famous opinion of the Pnei Yoshua. The Pnei Yoshua in Brachos Daf Lamed Hey concludes that the Svara of Aser Lo Adam Shanim and Olam Hazeh Lo Bracha, that it's forbidden for one to derive any benefit from this world without reciting a bracha in advance, that Svara is a Chiyuv De'oraisa. That the Svara is a Svara De'oraisa that establishes a Chiyuv De'oraisa to recite a bracha Rishona prior to consuming any food. So there is a machlokas whether a bracha Rishona is a chiyuv de oraisa or a chiyuv de rabbanan. Rov Ruman of our Rishonim, the Derech HaMelech, certainly is to assume that the bracha Rishona is only a chiyuv de rabbanan, but there is some evidence to say that it's a chiyuv de oraisa. And I saw in the Rishimo Shiurim, in Rav Reichman's notes on Rav Soloveitchik Shiurim, so he says that the Rav actually believed that there could be two dinim, that the Svara could be a Svara de Oraisa, like what the Pnei Yoshua says, whereas the Mekoros would be only Asmachta Midirabanan. And if that's the case, that there's one din that's the Oraisa and another din that's the Rabbanan, that the Svara is the Oraisa, whereas the Makor Minatora is only the Asmachta Midirabanan, so this requires some explanation as to what the difference between these two dinim are, which leads us to a discussion of the nature of the bracha of Birkas HaNe'anin, of bracha Rishona. Sort of Soloveitchik, and also the Emek Bracha, another one of the Brisker Achronim from the 19th century, and many offer this explanation, that there are really two ways of viewing the nature of Bracha Rishona. The first one is to view a Bracha Rishona as what we would call a matir. And that's to say that there is an Isser, there is a prohibition to derive any benefit min ha'olam hazeh, below bracha. So since there's an iser to derive benefit, therefore we need a bracha in order to be matir that iser. The food that stands before us is aser until proven mutter, and the way to make it mutter is through a bracha. And that would be basically what the svara establishes. The svara of aser lola adam shi'anim min ha'olam hazeh below bracha, so that svara means that a bracha rishona is really a matir, and for the Rav that would be a svara midoraisa, that there is an iser, maybe even an iser de oraisa, to derive any benefit from food prior to making a bracha. However, according to the mekoros, meaning if we derive a bracha rishona from mekoros in Torah, such as uveiraches lachmecha, or the Rabbi Akiva's drasha of kodesh yilulim Hashem. So what comes out, what emerges, is a very different view, a very different take on what the role of a bracha rishona really is. According to these sources, so the role of a bracha rishona is not to be matir the iser hana'a, but rather it's a positive mitzvah, it's a kiyum. It's a mitzvah to recite divrei shevach prior to eating any food. It's a mitzvah to be meshabeach Hashem for having created that food, for having been the source of that food. It's a mitzvah to recite divrei shevach prior to consuming the food. So there are two ways of viewing the role of a bracha. The role of a bracha is to be matir the food, or the role of a bracha is to recite divrei shevach prior to consuming the food. And if we derive the chiyuv of birkas hanenin from the mekoros, and we look at it as having the nature of the recitation of divrei shevach, so that din may be just a din derabanan, whereas the svara would be a din deoraisa. That was the Rav's analysis, as Rav Reichman writes in the Rishi Moshe Yurim in Brachos Daf Lamed Hey. So what other evidence do we have for these two different views of the nature of a birkas hanenin? It's actually interesting. We might be able to derive these two different views from two different interpretations of another Gemara on Daf Lamed Hey in Brachos, where the Gemara compares one who eats food without making a bracha in advance to someone who is gozel leHakadosh Baruch Hu, someone who steals from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And there's a debate as to what exactly is the object of theft. What does a person steal when he eats without making a bracha? So Rashi, in his commentary to Brachos Amid Hamid Beis, explains that he's gozel the bracha. Really, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was owed a bracha, so to speak, prior to one's consumption of food. And when one consumes any food without making a bracha, so he steals that bracha from Hashem. However, the Maharsha, in his commentary to that Gemara, explains perhaps more simply that one is not gozel the bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but rather one is gozel the food. The food belongs to Hashem until one recites the bracha. When one recites the bracha, so then we experience the transition from HaShamayim, Shamayim LaHashem, to V'ha'aretz Nasan Livnei Adam. So we have a machlokes here, whether one is gozel the bracha or one is gozel the food. And these two different interpretations really seem to revolve around the two different views of the nature of birkas hanenin. If we view birkas hanenin as a chiyuv to be mishabeach Hashem, as a chiyuv to recite divrei shevach prior to eating food, so then we can understand Rashi's interpretation, that there's a chiyuv to recite that divrei shevach, and when one eats the food without reciting a bracha, so one steals what was owed to Hashem. One steals that divrei shevach that he should have recited. However, according to the Maharsha, so the nature of the bracha is to be matir the iser. The food is aser until a bracha is recited upon it. The food belongs to Hashem. And when one takes that food without reciting a bracha, so he commits the iser of having been gozel from Hashem. So therefore, the bracha is matir the food. And when one doesn't make the bracha, so when we say that he's gozel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it means that he's gozel the food itself. So these two different ways of interpreting what exactly is the object of the gzeila may actually revolve around what the nature of birkas hanenin really is. So now that we've discussed the source of the for birkas hanenin, whether it comes from a svara that may mean that it's the oraisa and that its nature is a matir, or whether it comes from a mikoros in Torah Shebichsav and really it's an asmachta midrabanan and its nature is really a mitzvah to be mishabeach Hashem. So let's discuss some of the nafkamina between those two views of a birkas hanenin. So let's first discuss the issue of safek. So the background to the issue of safek is the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Beis and Aleph, where the Gemara has a safek about a certain case in which one holds a cup of beer and he begins saying a bracha under the assumption that that cup is actually a cup of wine. And then he concludes the bracha as a shahakol with the knowledge that really it is beer. The question is whether he needs to repeat the bracha. Maybe he should have to repeat the bracha because we should follow the Iker bracha, meaning the Shemu Malchus, which he recited under the impression that the cup was a cup of wine. Or maybe he doesn't have to repeat the bracha because we should follow the Chasima of the bracha, the Shahakol Niyabidvaro, which he recited with the knowledge that the cup was actually a cup of beer. So the Gemara doesn't reach any conclusion as to this safik. And that leads to a Machlokas Rishonim, whether we should go Lahakel, and we should say that he should drink that cup of beer without having to recite another bracha, or whether we should go lahachmir and say that he has to recite another shahakol niyabidvaro prior to drinking that cup of beer. So this was a machlokas rishonim. The Rif and the Rush both are of the opinion that safik brachos lahakel, and therefore in this case one should not make another bracha, but rather should just drink the cup of beer. Whereas the Ri, one of the Balei HaTosos, who's mentioned in Tosos and Brachos Daf Yud Beis right there, is of the opinion that we would go lahachmir. We would say safik lahachmir in this case, and we would argue, or we would pass him that he should have to make another bracha prior to drinking that cup of beer. So the Magen Avraham in Siman Reish Tes in Siv Gimel He questions this position of the Balei HaTosfos. Why wouldn't we say Safek Brachos LaHakel? After all, aren't Brachos Midrabanan? So we should say Safek Brachos LaHakel. Why would we say Safek LaHachmir in this case? So Rabbi Akiva Eger, on the daf there, and Brachos Daf Yud Beis, explains based on Amar Shah and Masachas Pesachim Adaf Kuf Beis, that we're not going to apply Safek Brachos LaHakel in this case because we have a potential Isser that's at stake. We have the Isser of Gzeila or of Mi'ila that's at stake. So since Birkas Hanenin is necessary to be Matir the Isser, so therefore we can't say Safek Brachos LaHakel, we're going to have to say Safek LaHachmir because we're dealing with a potential Isser. So seemingly, according to Rabbi Akiva Eger, the Nekudas HaMachlokas between the Rishonim, whether we say Safek Brachos LaHakel or Safek LaHachmir in this case, really revolves around the nature of Birkas Hanenin. If Birkas Hanenin is to recite Divrei Shevach, so then we're going to say Safek Brachos LaHakel. The Chiyuv is Midir Abanan at its core. So it's a Chiyuv Dir Abanan to recite Divrei Shevach. We're not sure whether you should recite it again or not. We're going to say Safek Brachos LaHakel, not to recite it again. But if the nature of Birkas Hanenin is to be Matir in Isser, so we can't say Safek Brachos LaHakel when an Isser is at stake, and therefore we'll have to say Safek LaHachmir in order to be Matir the Isser of that cup of beer. The Rav just adds that seemingly this whole explanation is not really sufficient, because even when it comes to matters of Isser, if the Isser is Midrabanan, generally we say that Safek Dirabanan Lekula. So the Rav, as brought down in the Rashi Mashiurim, explains that it must be that we're assuming that this Isser is an Isser Midoraisa, that the Re is actually kind of the forefather, so to speak, of the position of the Pnei Yoshua, that the Svara of Brachos Taflamid Hei, that Aser Lolo Adam Shianim and Olam Azev Lo Bracha, codifies an Isser de Oraisa. And since it's an Isser de Oraisa, therefore we will have to go to Chumna and require another Bracha in this case. What emerges from this discussion is that the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Beis and the ensuing Machlokas Rishonim, whether Safek Brachos LaHakel or Safek LaHachmir in this case, really revolves around the nature of Birkas Hanenin, whether we view Birkas Hanenin as a chi of a positive mitzvah to recite Divrei Shevach, or whether we view it as a matir, the uprooting of an iser of Gezela or of Mi'ila. Let's now discuss another potential question that revolves around these two views, and that's bracha le'achar achila. Should one ever make a bracha after having finished his meal? So the background to this is a Gemara in Brachos Daf Nun Aleph Amid Aleph, which cites a machlokas amoraim, whether one who forgot to make a bracha prior to eating and then finished his entire meal should make a bracha after his meal. So Ravina is of the opinion that he should make a bracha, but he actually compares this person to a ger who recites a bracha after being tovel in the mikvah. So just as a ger couldn't recite the bracha before being tovel, so he recites the bracha after being tovel, so to this person who didn't make a bracha prior to eating his meal should make a bracha after eating his meal. But the Gemara objects to Ravina's reasoning and says that clear difference between those two cases. The ger was mi'ikara lo chazi. He couldn't make the bracha prior to being tovel because he wasn't yet Jewish. But in our case, one could have made the bracha prior to eating his meal, so therefore he's considered nir evin idcha. He had the opportunity to make the bracha. He deflected that opportunity, and as such, even after the meal, so nir evin idcha, that opportunity no longer exists for him, and he should not make a bracha after finishing his meal. So how do we paskin on this issue? So the Rashba, in his commentary to Brachos Daf Nun Amud Beis, quotes the Ravid. This is not the Ravid of the Hasagos to the Rambam, but rather a different Ravid. And this Ravid argues that we should paskin like Ravina, and that one should actually make a bracha even after having finished his meal. If one had a meal and he forgot to make a bracha, he should recite a bracha after it. However, the Rambam in Hilchos Brachos, Perek Dalet Halacha Beis, and this is the way we paskin in Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Samach Zayin, Seif Ches, paskin that we don't make a bracha. We paskin against Ravina, seemingly like the simple conclusion of the Gemara, that we don't make a bracha after finishing one's meal. And seemingly the Nekudas HaMachlokas here between the Amoraim in the Gemara, and maybe even the way that we paskin Lehalacha in the Rishonim, is again may revolve around the nature of Birkas Hanenin. According to this opinion of the Ravid quoted in the Rashba, so we're going to view Birkas Hanenin as an opportunity to recite Divrei Shevach. So the svara would be that really you should say the Divrei Shevach prior to eating the meal. But if you forgot, you can still recite Divrei Shevach after eating one's meal. And therefore, one should recite a bracha even after concluding his meal. But the way that we paskin that one doesn't recite the bracha after concluding his meal, so you could explain that in one of two ways. One, you could say that that really the mitzvah of a bracha is to recite Divrei Shavach, but that Divrei Shavach has to come beforehand. The whole point is to inaugurate or initiate the transition of Shamayim Shamayim LaHashem to Ve'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam through the recitation of Divrei Shavach. Once one has eaten his meal, so he's just lost that opportunity. But another way to view this opinion, is that the whole nature of Birkas Hanenin is to be Matir the Isser. But if one has already eaten his meal, so there's no iser to be matir. Unfortunately, he's already consumed a dvar iser. So there's no way to fix that post facto. He should have been matir in advance. Now that if he wasn't matir, so there's nothing that he can do afterwards. And that would be why the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that one doesn't make a bracha after having concluded his meal. So just on an end note of what emerges from this sugya, for what we can derive about our general approach towards Birkas Hanenin, the Gemara explains the Brachos Daf Lamed Hey. We've mentioned it a couple of times that there exists this transition between LaHashem Ha'aretz Umloa, that everything belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Ha'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam, that Hashem provides us the opportunity to benefit from His creation, from what really belongs to Him. And this transition really revolves around the recitation of Birkas Hanenin. Birkas Hanenin is what triggers that transition. And when we recite a Bracha Rishona, and thereby recognize that from what we benefit really belongs to Hashem, and it's His creation, and we thank Hashem for providing us with that benefit. And we also transform our physical lives as kiyumim of our avodas Hashem, that we don't benefit from things without recognizing that they really belong to Hashem, and that Hashem gave us that opportunity to benefit from them. So with this bracha, we really proclaim that we engage in our physical life only after committing ourselves to Hashem's guidelines and His values, and only in that context can we benefit from His world of the Ha'aretz Nasan Levnei Adam. With everyone, a great rest of the week and a good time.